Good morning, everyone. You're all very welcome to Trinity this morning. And anyone that's visiting with us this morning is very welcome as well. And I hope they feel the warmth and the welcome of Trinity here in Grey Abbey. And for those that are out in solid ground, also a very warm welcome to them. And we hope they feel God's presence out there as well. Just a few announcements, okay. If you do read your announcement sheets again, that Neil returns tomorrow again from being off this week, so you can contact him again tomorrow if you do need a minister. Today is the North Down Storehouse Day. As they talk about it, it's where people would bring extra food along, and there's a shopping trolley out there, and we usually get it filled up, and then that goes along just to help those that are in more need than perhaps we are. So if you can spare a few things, please. It just doesn't have to be today. If you've forgotten the day, you can bring them any week, really, and put them in the shopping trolley out there in the welcome area, and just to keep that in mind, okay? Also, in May, we will be starting membership classes. The dates, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that they start around the 7th of May and go on for 3 weeks, and then that'll be followed by communion. So if you do feel that you want to be or look into being a membership in Trinity here in Grey Abbey or Trinity in Clocky, please see Neil or give him a wee ring and he'll talk you through that. Also, the Wings outing is in your announcements. It's on the 7th of May. And if anybody has any money that needs to be paid, it has to be paid today, okay? So please see the ladies' names there that are on your announcement sheets after the service. Okay, I think that is me. I think we're ready to start our service this morning, and I just want to start by reading you a psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas, and he established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? The King of glory. The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let us start our service this morning with a very rousing hymn. These are the days of Elijah. And you are allowed, I know Presbyterians tend to be quite quiet, but you are allowed to clap your hands, you're allowed to lift your arms, because this is an uprising song, and it really does lift us up as we start our service this morning. So let us stand and let us sing, These Are the Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
That doesn't waken you up, I don't know what will. But let's just turn to God and let's just come to Him in prayer. O Lord, my God, when we in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hand hath made, we see the stars, we hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the world displayed. Father God, as we walk through this world, as we walk through the creation of this world, Father God, through the forests, we hear the birds singing sweetly, Father God, in the trees. And when we're up in the lakes of the Mourne Mountains, Father God, and we look down and we see the grandeur of creation around us, we see the waters flowing. We can feel the gentle breeze of the wind in our face. Father, we realize that You are a great Creator. And Father God, you know, Easter is past, but Father, we never forget that You sent Your Son to die for each and every one of us. That on that cross, Father God, the burden that You took, You bled and You died to take away our sin. And Father God, we know that one day that we will shout with acclamation, and that You will take us home, and that joy will fill our hearts forevermore. Father, forgive us for the things in our lives that we do wrong. And there is many things, Father God, that we don't even know that we're doing wrong, but we are. So, Father, we humbly and we humbly bow our knees now. And, Father, we ask for Your forgiveness. Father, purify our hearts. Purify our minds. And, Father, just let Your love shine through each and every one of us. Father, we are so thankful that you're there. We're so thankful from the bottom of our hearts, Father God, that you have given us so much and we give back so little. But Father, we lift you up now. Help us to adore you. And help us to bow down this morning and only know, Father God, that you are a God way above, a God sitting on a throne in heaven. Majesty, wonderful majesty. Father God, just let your power rain down on each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing another song now, another wonderful hymn. Maybe we sing it a wee bit quicker now, but it's still a wonderful hymn. Be thou my vision, O Lord of all.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of all.
The next day, John was there with his two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him Say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. I think we're going to have a pause here. I have a horrible feeling I forgot to put this on, have I?
Oh, it's off.
Amateurs. Sorry. Which when translated is Peter. So Jesus calls Philip and... Good morning. Whoa. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He added, "I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Alex is going to come now and share with us a little about the Holiday Bible Club. Thanks, Alex.
Hello, morning. So I've been asked to be in charge of it. So when I got asked to be leading Holiday Bible Club, I thought, well, what is the point? Why do we do this? Is it just because we have a great laugh? Is it just because the kids are great and we have so much fun? But then I was looking at the Bible and looking at Jesus' example. So I was reading Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And it says this, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them, but the disciples, they rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. I just thought that's just the perfect example of why we do this. So just a wee bit about Holiday Bible Club then. So this year it's on the 12th to the 16th of August in the evening time, starting at 6:30. And then the 18th of August is the service, which is in Grey Abbey. So if anybody would like to help, I would really, really appreciate it. The whole team would appreciate it. Maybe you have done Holiday Bible Clubs before, and we would love to have you back. Or maybe you have never done it. And like any ages as well, everyone has different gifts and talents that they can bring to this. And the first planning meeting is on the 20th of May at 7:30. And then I've left a couple of sheets in both reception areas. So if you just want to pop your name down and your contact details, if you would like to help out. Thank you. Like something I did this in Clocky too. Sorry, the children's song is My Lighthouse, and then the kids will go to K4C after. Thanks.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In my questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you.
Now collect the offering. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. Thank you for all your provision. None of us here are hungry. We've all been able to sleep under a roof. There's been just so many blessings, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, for taking them for granted. And Lord, we just pray that you will take this money and that you will use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we just pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's continue to pray as we pray for others. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to carry everything to you in prayer. You are almighty, all-powerful, creator of all, and yet you love us, and you want us to spend time with you in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can meet here in your name in total freedom, able to read your word publicly without fear or persecution. Help us to use this blessing of freedom to tell others about the hope we have because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Lord, we see all those around us, folk that need you. Help us, Lord, to be salt and light in whatever circumstances that you choose to place us in. Lord, during the week we have seen terrible tragedy on our television screens, the result of people not living their lives as you would want them to do. Lord, we pray for Sri Lanka, for the security forces and the government as they struggle with the violence perpetrated recently. Lord, we pray for the bereaved and those badly injured. Be with them and comfort them. Thank you, Father, that amongst the chaos and sadness, there is hope. Thank you for Pastor Roshan of the Evangelical Church in Batacloa, who, despite many members of that church being killed or badly injured, has gone public with a declaration of forgiveness. We pray that this message of the love of Jesus will impact many. Lord, we also pray for all those in the aftermath of conflict who are now, in the media's definition, part of yesterday's news. Be with them and give them a sense of your presence, that they are not forgotten. Make us faithful in prayer and follow your leading to help where we can. Lord, we remember all those in our church who are unwell, unable to do what they used to do, folk who would love to be here with us this morning worshiping. Bless them, we pray, with a special sense of your presence and peace. Be with all those who work in the medical care, in whatever capacity. Be with those who offer care in the home. Thank you, Lord, for their skills and energies. Father, we pray that your will be done in the local elections next week. We pray that the candidates will be mindful of their responsibilities to serve others. We also pray for the talks scheduled in the next few weeks between all parties, and pray that your will be done. Lord, on Food Bank Sunday, we pray for the work of the Storehouse North Down Thank you for their faithfulness and vision. Thank you for those who donate. We just pray that all in the organization as they serve, that you will bless them. Be with those who receive help. Help them as they struggle day to day with all the worries of debt management. Encourage them, Lord, with the knowledge that you and your church love them and want to help them. Again, Lord, we praise and thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you here this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to be with us now as we open your word. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will touch every heart here today. And pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you ever come home and found yourself saying, "Do you know who I met today?" Maybe someone you have not seen for a long time, perhaps an old friend, often a very pleasant experience. But this morning we're going to consider Nathanael and how he encountered Jesus. So to encounter means pretty much the same thing as to meet, although it does suggest it's a little more than a casual thing. To encounter, perhaps, will have consequences. Something more than a casual meeting. Perhaps even life-changing. There are many examples of people encountering Jesus in God's word. The sermon last Sunday evening in Clocky, the last in the Easter series of Easter moments, Neil preached about the two on the road to Emmaus. Two people walking on the road after all the events around the death of Jesus. When they met with the resurrected Jesus, they did not recognize him as they walked along the road. But when he broke bread and prayed, their eyes were opened and they encountered the risen Lord. Now, the rest of their lives would be transformed. Another example would be when Saul, who will become Paul, a man on a mission to persecute the Christian church, en route to hunt out, imprison, and persecute Christians. Saul encounters the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, an encounter which changed his life mission entirely and had far-reaching implications and blessings for Paul and the growing church. This morning we're going to look at Nathanael encountering Jesus. You know, we don't know a lot about Nathanael apart from this account we read in John 1. There is even some confusion about as to whether Nathanael is Bartholomew, mentioned as one of the apostles in the Gospels. In Matthew 10, verse 3, though, we read about Philip and Bartholomew being sent out with the other 12. And we do know that Philip and Nathanael were great friends. So I think the evidence probably points out clearly that Nathanael had two names. And that was not uncommon in those days. After all, verse 42, the second part, Jesus says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. In the account, we read Jesus calls Nathanael because he has an important role for him. But we don't actually get to know what that role was. Sometimes God chooses to let us know the full story, but not always. It stands to reason Jesus had an important role for Nathanael. Otherwise, why call him in the context of calling the 12? I like this because when we respond to God's call with obedience, God is choosing to use us, but he does not need us. After all, it's all about Jesus and not us. Some historic accounts talk about Nathanael, or Bartholomew, as a missionary in India and Armenia, where he was martyred. So let's get away from the history and focus on what we read in God's Word, in which there is no doubt. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles again to John 1, verse 35 to 51. In verse 35, John the Baptist, so that's the John that's been referred to here, was there with two of his disciples. Andrew was one of them. So see what's happening here. John brings Andrew to Jesus, and in verse 41 it says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. This is a model for us as we plan and pray for 2020 mission here and in Clocky. We have a message of love, joy, and hope. We know what Jesus has done for us. And as we read in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, where Jesus tells his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Why? Why would we hold back on telling our friends and our family the good news about Jesus? We could use the term friendship evangelism here. Perhaps that's a formal definition of what we are looking at. But I just believe that God wants us to be full of joy, excited about the gospel, so that we're just bubbling over, overflowing, and starting with our family and friends. So John brings Andrew to Jesus, and the first thing he does is tell his brother Simon. Then in verse 43, we read that Jesus finds Philip. Here again, we see that God does not need us, but he chooses to use us. When Philip meets Jesus, no one else is involved. But, you know, that does not let us off the hook. That does not let us off from telling others. Because we read on, what does Philip do when he meets Jesus? He goes straight away and he finds his friend Nathanael and tells him. He tells his friend. But Nathanael is not going to accept what his mate Philip is telling him. He knows his stuff. He knows that the religious experts, the Pharisees, hold the view that a prophet will not come out of Galilee. We can read about that in John 7, verse 52. So we read these words in verse 46 of John 1. Nazareth. I think this was an outburst. I don't think this was, you know, there's an exclamation mark in the Bible here. Nazareth, are you having me on? Nazareth, can anything good come from there? We'd never do that, would we? I grew up in Dublin, on the south side. No looking down on anybody else. But, well, always when you talked about the Northsiders, you did so with a raised eyebrow, as if they were somehow different. Inevitably, on the north side, they talked about us with a raised eyebrow, as if we were somehow different. Sometimes we're guilty of hearing a regional accent, and we automatically start to deduct a few IQ points. The reality often is that they would buy and sell us three times over, but that's another story. That would never happen here, would it? No. Was Nathaniel being racist? Certainly it was a common held belief that Nazareth was a no-hope area, and everybody looked down their noses at folk from that area. Nazareth wasn't even mentioned in the Old Testament. But Nathanael should have realized, because the scriptures with which he was so familiar talked about the Messiah would be despised and rejected. Let's not be too harsh on Nathanael and his outburst, because in Matthew 11, verse 21, we read Jesus telling us about the unrepentant town of Bethsaida and others in Nazareth. This was a hard place where Jesus was not well received. A prophet is not accepted in his hometown. But one thing of which we can be absolutely sure, Nathanael was a sinner who needed Jesus. To quote Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Philip persists. He wants Nathanael to meet Jesus. He wants his friend to have what he has now got. Come and see. Philip is not going to get tangled up in the debate as to whether anything good comes from Nazareth. No, just come and see, he says to his mate, Nathanael. As Philip and Nathanael approach, Jesus says in verse 47, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael probably thinks to himself, "Yeah, it's me." But then he thinks to himself, "How does this Jesus know me?" After all, Nathanael, in our conclusion, is a fact-orientated man in his thinking. Jesus' reply would change Nathanael's thinking completely. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Right there and then, Nathanael recognized who Jesus was. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." The penny drops. The beliefs and knowledge that Nathanael had in his head clicked, and he now believed in his heart. I've often wondered about this statement, "I saw you under the fig tree." What does Jesus mean? I got a smile from Scott and Matt every time I use an illustration. It's either boats or it's nature and trees. Well, it's trees and stuff this time. So botany is one of my favorite subjects. So a little bit of botanical Latin for you this morning. It's an easy one, don't worry. Fig tree, Ficus carica. Okay, so that's an easy one to get your head around. If I asked you to draw a tree, you'd probably draw a trunk and a bit of a lollipop head on. That's probably what I would do. The sort of thing we would have drawn as kids. I'm sure there are gifted artists here, and maybe they would do something more elaborate, but I'm sure the trunk would be clearly seen. In this part of the world we're reading about, the fig tree was a food source. It would have been pruned and shaped to improve the yield. As a gardener, I have tortured fig trees in gardens into all sorts of unbelievable shapes, you know, espaliers and fans and all these beautifully Victorian things to try and get them to fruit in our climate. But here I think we're talking about a fig tree which is maybe not that productive fruit-wise, but it had another key benefit. This is a tree that was left to its own devices. And if you leave a fig tree to its own devices, it will grow maybe about 10 foot high. And then the wood, because it's not that strong, will start to arch over. And you'll end up with 10 foot high, maybe 25 feet wide, a big hummock. And you will see that with any green plant, the leaves are orientating themselves to the sun. So the leaves are all on the outside, and you've got this beautiful green dome. A place that you could go in underneath. A place to get away from the hustle and bustle of life. A place of shade, a place of calm. A place where often in that part of the world, there would have been discussions about God. A place where people would go to pray. A prayer room. A place where you would seek to focus on God. A private place. A place that you could not be seen from the outside. Jesus physically did not see Nathanael under that tree, but he saw Nathanael as only God sees us. He saw Nathanael's heart. A man searching, a man of prayer, a man who would serve faithfully. Of course, Jesus could see all the sin, the bad stuff. But he still called Nathanael because he loved him. Does that not dispel that argument we often use? Oh, I'm not good enough. I can't follow Jesus. My sin is unforgivable. I have no special skills. When Jesus calls, he knows we are sinful. He knows we will let him down. But he knows our heart. He knows that his sacrifice, his death on the cross and resurrection paid the price for our sin. Through grace, we can be washed clean and follow and serve him. What a precious message the gospel is to this sinful world. A free gift, a new beginning, hope in this sinful world. We don't hear much more about Nathanael, Bartholomew, in the Gospels. In our reading, though, we did read in verse 50, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree." Jesus goes on, "You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Wow. If Nathanael had said no to his friend's invitation, said no to that call of Jesus, if Nathanael had held on to his narrow thinking, his narrow religious views, typecasting people from Nazareth, he would have missed out on the journey with Jesus, missed out on witnessing Jesus' ministry. He would have missed out on seeing heaven open and the glories that Jesus is talking about. He would have missed out on the one thing that he had been searching for: the Messiah, salvation. He would have broken the heart of his best mate Philip, who had invited him in the first place. Nathanael was faithful to Jesus' call. And we do hear about Nathanael again in John chapter 21. You'll recall this story, I'm sure. This is the third time the resurrected Jesus appeared to the disciples. Nathanael is clearly listed as one of the other disciples. They had fished all night and caught nothing. When they followed the instructions from Jesus, huge blessings, more fish than the net could hold. But more than that, they were able to experience the presence of the living, the resurrected Jesus. Have you seen yourself in this account of Nathanael's call? Do you have the facts in your head about Jesus, but not in your heart? Have you experienced the reality of an encounter with the risen Savior? Or perhaps it's so long ago and life and stuff has just got in the way. If that's the case, I would encourage you to go back to the cross, to that moment when you realized what Jesus did for you. Nathanael's story is one of faithfulness, of someone being faithful to Jesus, working out of the limelight, being faithful in the background, a story of real encouragement. Jesus loves each one of us and sees us as we pray and seek quality time with him in that quiet place under our own particular fig tree. Or are we hiding? Do we actually think we are hiding under our own particular fig tree? Perhaps you have been hiding under that fig tree too long. I'd just like to remind you that the prayer ministry team are always available. If you want to pray and sort out anything with the Lord, we're happy to facilitate. after the service in the church area here. So avail of that if God is challenging you. We're going to close our worship service. And we're going to sing, Knowing You, Jesus, All I Once Held Dear. Words of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.